We are continuing in the book of 1 Samuel. We are in the second chapter, and we will start. Okay, listen to what I'm about to say here. Listen carefully, please. Black and white, mountain top and valley low, light and darkness, good and evil. What do you think? What am I trying to emphasize? Huh? Opposite. Or comparison. It's in the title. Comparison at its finest. A smart jeweler would place a beautiful shiny diamond ring on the top of black velvet under a bright light to accentuate the diamond. It's a good comparison. In the first portion of 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Holy Spirit directed Samuel to give us a comparison at its finest between the godly woman and the two wickedly corrupt priests, two sons of the high priest Eli. For a good measure, Holy Spirit inserted several messianic prophecies in Hannah's prayer. Last Thursday evening, we learned that Hannah, who was barren, prayed to the Lord and asked for a son who would live all his life as a dedicated man of God. The Lord granted her wish and gave her a son, Samuel. And now, we are eavesdropping on Hannah's prayer at the tabernacle as she dedicated her child to the Lord. Arthur, do you have someone outline that? Outline note? It's in the front. Great Mercedes. Who owns the Mercedes? You have a Mercedes?
I want to sit next to her.
Did you rob the bank?
No, it's normal.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness in Christ Jesus. You extend your golden scepter toward us, so that we may come to your presence through Jesus Christ. You extend your mercy toward us. You extend your love toward us. What a wonderful and great God you are. Father, we pray that we may learn good things from Hannah, that she had a devoted life toward you. And let us learn from the two corrupt, wicked priests, two sons of Eli, that we may not repeat what they have done. As your word said, the Old Testament is written for an example for us to learn from. You engraved your truth in our heart that we may know what you want us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1, please. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My, what? Next word. Horn. Okay, underline that word horn, please. Is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is God, the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighted. Stop there, please. Anybody don't have someone outline note? Everybody got it? Okay. All right, give me your interpretation on this, please. Humble servant. All right? Okay. What else do you see here? What else? Okay, that's there too. Repentance in verse 3? Oh, okay. That's pushing a little too far, but you can push. You can look at it that way, I guess. Yeah. Giving God the praise for what? Specify here. Okay. All right. Good. Okay. One of the best praise and prayer, in my opinion, one of the best praise and prayer recorded in the Bible is this one. This one and the King David's prayer, as well as the Virgin Mary's prayer. Deep theologies. Wall does not understand the relationship between the sacrifice and the song, and how the people can sing their way into sacrifice and sacrifice their way into singing. In this case, singing is more of the prayer. She rejoiced in the Lord. She does not, cannot rejoice for the living of her son, but she can, she does rejoice in the Lord. In the most desperate situation, when we have nothing else to rejoice in, we still can rejoice in the Lord because of who He is. What I'm trying to say is that you guys kind of missed out. She is giving glory to God, even though she knows that she's going to leave that child, 3-year-old child, in the temple, and she ain't going to see him for another year. Mommies, moms, how would you like to do that? It's not easy for moms, and not even dad is not easy. I ask you to underline the word, not the word horn. So what does it mean? Does it mean that the Hannah has a horn in the middle of the forehead? Come on, talk to me. Strength. Power. Okay. You guys know this. The word horn is often used in the picture of strength in the Bible, such as Psalm 74:4-5 and 92:10. Also, the incense altar that the Lord allowed Moses to make for the tabernacle, incense altar that is about 1 foot long wide, 1 foot long deep, and 5 feet tall. Incense altar, four corner has horns. It specified of strength. Hannah speaking of her strength and power being exalted in the Lord. To have your horn exalted meant to receive the new strength from the Lord and be especially helped by Him at the time of crisis. Hannah's praise should be compared with the King David's prayer, as I mentioned, found in 2 Samuel chapter 22. As well as Mary's prayer in Luke chapter 1 verse 46 through 55. All three prayers tell of God's grace to undeserving people, God's victory over the enemies, and the wonderful way God turned the things upside down in order to accomplish His purpose, I guess. What Mary expressed in her prayer is especially close to what Hannah prayed in her hymn of praise. When you look at a side-by-side comparison, it's almost identical. And does it mean that she cheated? I don't know. Maybe she remembered what Hannah prayed. Mary remembered what Hannah prayed, so from there improvised. Nothing wrong with that. Even though her prayer is very much heavenly and praising God who came to her aid, Hannah does not forget to insert her own jab against the fellow wife, Peniel. Remember when we studied chapter 1, what did Peniel do? She provoked Hannah often because she was a barren. So now she's getting back at her, I have a son. And my son now served the Lord. But at the same time, she sees Peniel as just a representative of all the proud and arrogant people in the world. So in a way, what Mikey said is come close, but that's not what I was looking for. What are the two things you noticed in verse 2 in Hannah's prayer? Let's go back to verse 2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. What can you tell me? Don't look at my note. Huh? Praise. Okay? I want you to look for one word that is important here in verse 2. Rock. There's no other rock like our God. It is good for us to begin our praying and praising, because praise helps us to focus on the glory of the Lord, not on the greatness of our needs. When we see the greatness of God, we start to see life in the right perspective. Hannah knew the character of God and exalted His glorious attribute. She began by affirming His holiness and uniqueness. this holiness and uniqueness to go together, because the both Hebrew and Greek word holy means holy, other, set apart, and separated. Also, the Jews, every morning, daily, they say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord, is the Lord our God is one Lord." Comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "And there are no other God. Whenever Israel turned to idol for help, and they lost the blessing of the God." Remember this book of Judges? They had this horrible cycle, going from following God to walking away from God, and they worshiped idols, and they get chastised by God, and they turn to God, and they come back to worshiping God. It was a time after time the visions were going again. And you may wonder, what's the rock got to do with that? Immovability. The rock, big rock, is not something you're going to move around. So when we think about God, our God is solid rock. It's not like a shifting sand, exactly. And He is holy, set apart, and He's unique. All right, go down to verse 4, please. Why is that difficult? "The bows of the mighty man, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with the strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. The hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7. She who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive, and brings down, He brings down to the grave and brings up. And the Lord makes poor and makes rich, and He brings low and lifts up. He raised the poor from the dust and lifted the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among the princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them." Okay, give me your interpretation here, please. Good. Comparison of... Okay, good. Okay. All right, that's looking closely. How about pull back a little bit, overview? You're getting closer, but not quite. Bingo. Sovereignty of God. Yeah. He is in complete control. He makes a... It's verse 6. "The Lord kills and makes alive, brings down and grave and brings up. And the Lord makes a poor and makes rich." All of that. Hey, what do you know? Prodigal son is back. Do you want a lesson? You're good? Oh, he knows the Bible and he doesn't need it anymore. All right. "Her praise like a poem." And you may say, what poem? There's no rhyme. We don't have a rhyme in English because the kind of lost in translation. But if you notice, there's a repetition going over and over and over. That's the style of a Hebrew style of a poem. "The Lord is in charge of birth and death and everything in between. He can rescue us from the grave or permit us to die. If the Lord allows to live, He can make us rich or poor, exalted or downcast, because He knows what's the best. This doesn't suggest that people should meekly comply with this difficult circumstance and do nothing about it. Woe is me, just down, I'm not going to do anything because this is my lot. No. But that we cannot change this circumstance without the Lord's help. That is a pure sovereignty of God, who is the author of our lives." Am I making sense to you? Because of that, can I change the slide? Because of that, God is not the respecter of the human social status, wealth, fame, or power. He cares very much about those who humble themselves before Him, and He would reward those who diligently seek Him more than seeking their own profit. Keep your finger there and go to James chapter 4, please, verse 10.
Right after Hebrews, right before 1 Peter, James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. In the mind of the world, humbling ourselves is like a degrading things, right? But God is the one who exalts us. May I change the slide? Without Hannah realizing, she spoke the messianic prophecy regarding the death and resurrection in verse 6. Let's go back to verse 6. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. There's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an obvious reference. He laid down his own life and took it up again. And you may say, well, it just happened to be that way. Well, hold your horse there, because the verses that following have more references. Go down to verse 9, please. He will guard the feet of his saint, but wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversary of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the end of the earth. He will give the strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Stop there again. All right, interpretation. Give it to me, please. Okay. Lord protects people. All right, that's part of it. Prophecy of the Revelation. Third. Don't look at to each leaf. Look at overall in this verse, three verses. Excellent. As Jim said, there is a prophecy in this verse, in these verses. At this time, Israel did not have a king. But she's talking about king. Where did that come from? There's a prophecy. Messianic prophecy is mentioned here. Hebrew word for the anointed is Mashiach, which translates to the Messiah in English. This is the first place ever mentioned Messiah, where Jesus is referred as the Messiah. And Hannah first applied to Jesus the remarkable description, Messiah in Hebrew, Christ in Greek, and anointed in English. You follow me? That's why I can comfortably say, in context, verse 6 was referring to death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This word also adopted by this anointed word is adopted by David, Nathan, Ethan, Isaiah, Daniel, and the other succeeding prophets in the Old Testament, as well as the writers in the New Testament. Zechariah, hold on. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, quoted Hannah in Luke chapter 1:16, and when he prophetically called Jesus the horn of salvation, and quoting from 1 Samuel 2:10, right here. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, in a beautiful prayer found in Luke chapter 1:46-55, quoted this again whole prayer, as I mentioned. Let's go back to the verse 11. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. How old is the child at this time? 3, exactly. Do you know any 3-year-old child ministering to anybody? Usually they are selfish. They demand their ways. But somehow, this child was guided. Another thing that we should notice, Elkanah and Hannah just left the child and went home. What do you think about that? When was the last time you left your child or grandchild with a complete stranger and walked away? Not to see him again for a year. Complete trust in God. Amen? I don't believe that little Samuel was actually ministering to God as the next priest. But because he was designated by God, and I get the feeling that that child had God in his heart and doing what is right. The word minister in Hebrew
In Hebrew, it's, I misspelled that thing. S. Okay, write it down again. Put the H after the T. S-H-A-R-A-T-H. Okay? S-H-A-R-A-T-H. It's pronounced as Sharak. And it occurred 96 times in the Old Testament. It has the meaning of a special relationship with God. In other words, little Samuel was keeping very close and intimate relationship with God. Not necessarily as a priest to be, but in personal base. Am I making sense? Child was ministering to God with an intimate setting. Verse 12, please. Excuse me. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. Remember? There's a corrupt comparison. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, priest or servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in their hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust into the pan or kettle or the cauldron or pot, and the priest would take it for himself all that flesh hook brought up. So they did in a child all to the old Israelite who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give me the meat for the roasting to the priest. For he will not take the boiled meat from you, but raw. So if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desire. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it now. If not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sins of young man was very great before the Lord. For man, note the next word, abhor the offering of the Lord. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Look at the overall picture, not each tiny portion. Corruption. Expound a little. What kinds of corruption? What kinds of corruption? Not the definition of a corruption. Stealing from. Okay, good. Good. Would you tell me why the sons of Eli did what they did? Okay, with the word that shows in these verses. No. Stay with the verses that the word mentioned, huh? Worthless man, okay? The reason, not the symptom, huh? They didn't believe. That's not the word here. That's not the word that I'm looking for. Try to use the word that mentioned in these verses. Huh? That's the reason. They did not know the Lord. What? You said it? Oh, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. So far, we were looking at the wonderful scene of Hannah and the little Samuel. And all of a sudden, in comparison, we see the horrible scene at the tabernacle. You see, the word of God, does not waste word, nor does it misuse the word. The original word, corrupt, should be translated as worthless. Literally, in Hebrew, it means the sons of Belial. Belial is a grotesque pagan god. When you go home, Google the word Belial and look at the images. It's a goat head with a vicious looking face. And guess what that goat head represents? Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, Apostle Paul used Belial as synonym for Satan. This is a significant problem because the sons of Eli were succeeded to be the high priest. They already functioned as a priesthood. Okay, with that in mind, think about it. When the rapture happened, if the rapture happened right now, many pastors and priests will not go up with the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they don't believe the deity of Jesus Christ, salvation through a personal relationship with Christ, atoning sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. In other words, they did not know the Lord. Am I making sense? I always wonder why they even stay in the job as a pastor and priest. Just like Eli's son, these people don't know the Lord and they were stench to the God. Good example, 1,000 priests molest the children. And I'm sorry, hundreds of priests molest 1,000 children throughout the years. Just Pennsylvania. Their hearts hardened. They don't know the Lord. They don't have a Holy Spirit in their heart. Yes, sir. Once you reject God, there's no limit of sin. According to the other passage in the Old Testament, the priest is supposed to receive a portion of breast of the shoulder. What I'm saying is that if the people bring the peace offering or the fellowship offering, whatever they bring, priest can have some, and the people who bring the food, the sacrifice, can have some. Burnt offering, as I mentioned, is complete burnt. Hakipa, totally burned. Nothing left over. How they were supposed to get the just portion of it, breast portion and the shoulder portion. Over the 400 years, that custom is that has been changed to the, they came up with this ingenious idea. Of course, priest, human priest came up with an idea overriding what Moses got from the Lord. They came up with a three-prong hook and stick it into the cooked, boiled meat and yank it up, and whatever comes up, they were allowed to take. That was not good enough for the Eli's son. They used the same three-prong hook, stick it into uncooked meat. Guess what comes up? Whole meat. What are they going to do with all that meat? Sell them. These are pure scums. It's bad enough because of what they did. People start to despise going to the tabernacle and giving sacrifice. Because if think about it. If you are the person who is taking the sacrifice to the tabernacle and you know that what they're going to do, would you like to go there still? It was detestable to God and to people. It's bad enough that what they themselves were doing, but the greater sin of the Eli's son was in how they hurt other people. Our self-destructive sins are bad enough. It is even worse when we destroy someone else's faith. It is the same today with the greedy, corrupt ministers who make others hate the offering to the Lord. God will judge them by the higher standard. I don't want to be them when they face the Lord later. You know why? Go to James 3:1, please. James 3:1. So if you're a Bible teacher, listen carefully, read carefully. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive the stricter judgment. And you may say, well, I'm not a Bible teacher, so I'm off the hook. No, you're not. Do you know why you're not? You just heard. Now you're accountable for what you just heard. You know, it's kind of irritating to me. Pope Francis said, building a wall is wrong for people to stop the people coming. And then I looked at the Vatican. It's a 40-foot wall all the way around with the guards, armed guards. And he talked about that transparency. And now what they do is they just pick up all the garbage and sweep it under the rug. Is it any better, Protestant? No. If the reason why people do the pastors and priests do what they do is because they don't know. If they understand the meaning of holiness, we wouldn't dare to do what we do. Go down to verse 18, please. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendant from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. I guess she's no longer barren, huh? Meanwhile, child Samuel grew before the Lord. All right, give me your interpretation, please. That's a good comparison, yes? He has his own ephod. I wrote the ephod on my sermon note, and it got highlighted by a computer. And he says, trying to make an auto-correction as an iPod. Auto-correction. Sometimes you love him, sometimes you hate him. Sin was changed again to bright setting. Now we see the little Samuel ministering to the Lord in a sleeveless, it's a kind of sleeveless long robe they wore. And Mama made it every year. I'm sure she had to make it bigger and bigger each time. And he get to wear that thing. Samuel was I can just picture him, little child with the long hair. Remember, he was not supposed to cut his hair. And he, with the long hair and his robe down to his ankle, standing next to this high priest Eli. Verse 20 is one of those verses that show us that we can never outgive God. Amen? Hannah gave 1 child to God and received 5 more. Never to be afraid to commit our unknown future to the known God, Jesus. Because He will surprise us whenever we yield to His will and His ways. Would you agree? Alright. Question. I have a question. What would please our Lord more than anything? Would it be money we bring to Him? Would it be ministry that we have done in His name? Would it be big size congregation and the church building? Obedience. Okay. Love and obedience. Excellent point. Would you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9? Some of you guys already can recite this thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. If you have not memorized this, I want you to memorize this thing, okay? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is what? Loyal to Him. Is your heart loyal to Him? I hope so. Most likely, anyone who willing to show up in the middle of the week at church, yeah. The one He is desiring from us is the loyal heart. Another portion of the scripture said, is this burnt offering did I ask for? And it is your obedience. Second application. We saw this comparison. The way Hannah lived, the way little Samuel lived, and we see 2 wicked, worthless sons of Eli, the way they live, the way they walk, the way they handle situation. That can lead people to God or keep them away from God. So, application is, the way we live, the way we talk, the way we handle crisis will lead others. If you are using foul language and if you behave badly, do me a favor. Please don't tell others you're Christian. Okay? I don't know how you behave yourself outside of these 4 walls. I said this many times. When you come here, you smell like a Christian, you look like a Christian. But I don't know how you act. I hope you act the same way you act in here. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may do what is right in your sight with a loyal heart, that we may give you praise and glory through our lives, not with our words only. Remind us what we need to do, how we need to do, and why we need to do. We are your servant. We are your children. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name.